This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm John Oliver, member number one. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. Lovely to have you with us today. I'm Chris.
I'm Gordon.
I'm Phil.
And
who's that man in the corner?
Well, I'm not quite sure. Speak up or forever hold your peace. Good afternoon.
David. And I'm here this week
again,
to
please. I didn't have you.
David. Oh. David. Definitely David here.
Definitely David.
Good to be here.
Definitely David here. Yes.
Thank you indeed.
One of the secrets of radio is, to be heard, you need your microphone on.
Yeah, that always. Yeah.
So we're there now. Everything's fine.
But why is David here?
Well, because I'm not going to be for the next 5 weeks.
Yes, you're going off fluttering away over flutterbys on airplanes tomorrow or Wednesday
like that,
or something,
yes.
Aren't you?
It's all very sad.
Oh,
but I need to go
sad.
And recharge my European lungs, you see. There
yes.
we go.
He's a Europhile.
Yeah. So.
So if you're listening in Europe at the moment, you've got a couple of days to go home or get out.
Now, the beauty is, of course, that whilst I'm gone, the show will proceed and David has stepped in. David's a graduate from the Taste of Radio course. And what else do you already do on Joy, please, David?
Well, if I'm going to put in a plug for myself, you can hear me on Right Here, Right Now, a great team of guys. That's on a Wednesday night at 8 p.m. And also the Wednesday morning news. You might recognise my voice from that with 6 degrees in Melbourne, top today of 7, that sort of thing.
All right. It vocalises extra well. You've got practice from your daytime job.
Oh, look, I've had a good teacher, Tim, the legend in the newsroom.
Yes.
And also some very generous and fantastic people on a Wednesday night at Right Here, Right Now.
Good.
So at any given time, do you know where you are?
No, I have no idea.
You're either Right Here, Right Now or Been There, Done That.
I think I'm Been Here, Done That, and I've got a feeling I'm old enough now, and I'm just thinking, I've got Dragon's old song just chiming through my head, Are You Old Enough? And
okay.
I believe that I am now.
So
oh,
you're not
good.
You're not Been There, Done Now?
Could be. There's a whole day ahead of us.
Yeah. It could be anything.
Anything could happen.
So, indeed, welcome, David, to the show. And thanks to Tim for the news. And thanks to Scotty for the morning show. Coming up after us at 1 o'clock will be Joe and B.
Yeah, they're back.
Yeah, they're back.
Joe's been away, hasn't he? Yeah.
So we're all flittering.
They're all coming home because it's now getting warmer.
Ah, yes.
They go away for the winter months in Melbourne. Yes, get to the northern climes. I don't mind. I like the cold.
Oh, it just gets so hard in Melbourne getting through all the sleet and the snow. And the
terrible.
Up to your elbows. Oh, it's horrible.
On this week's show, we'll be talking about National Child Protection Week and one of the things that's been created for that. And Women's Health Week, and Are You Okay? And also, it's Blue September, which is Men's Health Week. Oh, Men's Health Month.
Not just week, it's a month.
That's
yes.
right. So we'll be talking about those as well. And a few other little topics. But,
the first thing we're going to talk about is a rather incredible thing, isn't it?
Well, really, someone had to be first to
do
this.
Yeah, well, I guess they did, yes. They had to be first at this.
And
yes.
he was there and he did that and for the first time. And we're talking about in Friday the 10th of September 1897, the world's first conviction for drunk driving occurred in London.
Yes.
So, you know, okay, 120 years ago. But of course, before that, there were drunk drivers.
But they were driving carriages and horses. And
yeah.
They had to bring in rules and laws because there were too many drunk handsome cab drivers so that they were driving their horses into one another, apparently. I don't know what happened, but they had to bring a rule in. And then when the motor car first appeared, apparently this man was convicted under the Carriage Drivers Act because they didn't have anything in for motor cars at that time because they were such a new thing on the road in 1897. So he was convicted under the horse driving one.
What happened if you had a handsome crab?
Handsome crab?
Cab.
You would eat it, I would think.
Well, yes. But what if you had that and you didn't look any good?
I don't know.
So what, like an ugly, handsome cab driver?
Well, you'd be a driving contradiction.
Yes, yeah. So you would, you're a handsome driver. No, yeah, okay.
Well, right. The cab looks okay. Pity about the face.
Yeah.
Or also a really drunk, handsome cab driver.
Well, then everybody looks all right.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So yes. Do we know what he had drunk or how much?
Well, he'd only drunk a couple of glasses of beer, apparently, but he was driving an electric car. And he mounted the footpath and ploughed into a number 165 Bond Street in London.
So that's he was shaken, not stirred.
So he was shaken but not stirred, yes, exactly right. So there you go. So there was the first drunk driver. But then they used to pick up drunk drivers, I'm pretty sure, in the old days as well. But then it was only when they brought in the 05 law here in Victoria that things started to really get serious, didn't they?
Oh, yes.
But you could be picked up. You could be charged with drink driving as long as they suspected that you were drink driving.
They had no real test. They could just smell your breath or just say that you were incapable. Hmm. But now there is the actual blood test.
Did we have the roadside sobriety test they have in America?
Walking the white line.
The white line.
Oh, that used to be the thing when you got picked up for being drunk and disorderly. They had a white line drawn in the police station. You had to walk along the white line and then you had to stand on one foot. I never did this, but I read about it.
You just went straight out and punched the cop in the face. So don't call me drunk.
Fun people, fun shows. Joy 94.9.
You're with Chris, David, Phil and Gordon on Been There, Done That, Joy 94.9.
By the time you get to say all those names, the show's nearly over.
Oh, well, you know, we were just discussing while the music was on, the acronym for our community.
Yes, it's getting long.
It's getting longer and longer.
Yeah, I just think we just sort of be all queer.
Oh.
Be easier, wouldn't it?
Make it all inclusive.
Make it all inclusive. Yeah, queer. We're all queer.
Gay and lesbian and everybody else.
That anyhow.
Glee.
Just call us people.
People. That's an even better acronym.
That's right. I don't know what it stands for. But the P is for people.
Oh, right. I like that. I like that. This week we have Child Protection Week. And it's a week in which it's an opportunity to recognise the important work of individuals and organisations who work for children, young people and their families. For more than 20 years, the National Association for the Prevention of Child Abuse and Neglect has coordinated the Play Your Part campaign during National Child Protection Week. The Play Your Part campaign seeks to increase awareness and understanding of the importance of primary prevention to reduce child harm and neglect in Australia, instilling the core principle that protecting children is everyone's business. And to that end, there's a book been released, and it's called My Underpants Rule. It's actually a bit of a poem and a storyline and picture book in comic book style to let kids know how to protect themselves and, of course, their underpants rule and protect them. And why? Well, that's the story that kids are explained through this book in how they can do a little bit of self-protection.
I think the little poem that they've got there is, or the little bit of writing, the blank verse that they've written is very, very clever. That's, what's under my pants belongs only to me, and others can't touch there or ask me to see. But safe grown-up or doctor when I'm not healthy, that's under my pants belong only to me. And if that rule's broken, I can run, kick and scream. Yes, really, it's okay to make a big scene. My underpants rule has been broken, you see. That's under my pants belongs only to me. That's absolutely quite wonderful.
Yeah.
It really is wonderful. And it really needs a hell of a lot of protection. When you read about these dreadful evil monsters with their child pornography and stuff on, oh, God, it makes me sick. You just read about it in the paper. It's bloody awful.
Certainly does. And teaching the young kids at this early age, it's a child-friendly message.
Yeah.
And it will get in there, and then they can carry that with them in their life, probably up to the point where they would make a bit better judgment of how they see their own body, how other people see their body.
And hopefully they'll remember this rhyme when they're in their early teens and sending pictures to their friends on their phones.
Oh,
yes.
Well,
yes.
Exactly.
Because this is a subtle way of saying think about it.
Yeah. Well, they should do too, because you start to be able to reason apparently at the age of 7. I think that's when your reasoning starts to come in. Mm. So if they start learning these sort of little verses and things like that before the age of seven, they sort of remember them and then they can work on them from there, I think. What do you think, David?
Well, what I really like about this book is that it's been written by Kate Power, and she's an ex-policewoman. So she's seen, you know, firsthand a lot of problems and whatever. She's also a mother of three, and, you know, she cares about her kids, and she's got together with somebody else, and they've put this together because they're looking at it from their children's perspective, and it's to do with their kids' safety.
Well, it's every mother's nightmare, or every mother and father, I beg your pardon's nightmare, that something's going to happen to their children.
Yeah.
This is a part of their life where the helicopter parent doesn't work.
Yes.
Because they'll be alone with their phone or their computer and...
anything can happen.
Who knows what
they're
talking about.
Well, you even get the situation where people will be flashed at. Young kids. You know, what's that all about? Yeah.
Or they're going to be alone with somebody that they know and trust and something may happen as well.
That's right.
This is sort of addressing that as well. It's a very important issue, of course.
Because quite frequently it's the friend of the family that does all the damage. If a child has learnt this little verse and says that, no, you're not supposed to do that, that sort of will stop that person from doing something, you know, hopefully.
It's interesting to see how, you know, the Child Protection Week has taken a different sort of angle this year, and especially with the Royal Commission going on at the moment into child sex abuse in institutions. And obviously they're trying to address that. And, you know, this book just sounds fantastic. It's a great tool there.
Well, it's going to be a great tool for parents to be able to sort of help.
I have one question. Mm-hmm. Was Bronwyn Bishop a helicopter parent?
Thank you, Phil.
Or was that a late onset problem?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, there's a helicopter.
Yes.
The day that we're celebrating on Friday the 11th is actually Are You OK? It's a not-for-profit organisation. It's a vision for a world where we're all connected and we're protected from suicide, and the mission is to encourage and equip anyone who is regularly and meaningfully. You can ask them, are you okay?
Yeah, because there's a lot of people you find that they don't tell, and men particularly don't seem to ever open up to anybody about the way they're feeling. Like, women will open up a lot more than what men do, and men need somebody like that to sort of say, are you okay? Can I help you do it somewhere, you know?
And it can be anyone. It can be somebody who looks outwardly as if they're perfectly fine.
Yeah,
exactly. And they just need to hear that one little question.
Yeah, which is far more personal than the usual, how you going, mate?
Yeah.
Or anything as common as that.
Well, it's a specific question that doesn't have a short answer.
Are you okay? And the only answer is, you know, if you're going to be honest with yourself or the person answering the question, is, okay, yes, I am okay, or, well, I've had better days, and then that opens the conversation.
It'd be nice to feel comfortable in saying no. I'm not okay.
Well, that's the point. A lot of men are not comfortable saying, no, I need a bit of help.
Well, that's where just bringing this to the front is a step in the right direction. And one day, you know, people might actually feel more comfortable being honest.
I think it's education. It all gets down to education to make people feel that they can just open up and talk.
Somebody else they can talk to. And I suppose also with all the social media these days, a lot of people actually isolate behind social media rather than actually talking face-to-face as we are now or other people would normally. So, you know, maybe this is encouraging us just to say to people that we know that maybe do isolate a little bit.
Yeah.
And,
well, there's a difference between communicating and talking.
Exactly. And exactly. So,
yeah. We're going to lose talking.
Well, time for a bit of instant replay with Dan Hartman. A blast from the past here on Joy. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're with Chris, Phil, Gordon and David on Been There, Done That. Joy 94.9.
Now, we've had a message here, which has caused a bit of consternation here in the studio. We've had a lot of discussion about it. The listener wrote in and said, just watched images from Bart Cummings' funeral. Is it justified for a racing identity to be given a state funeral? Just a little confused to the connection with public where gambling has destroyed many people's lives. So we were sort of for and against the whole argument in this room. I don't know about anybody else.
Gambling destroys lives. That's not being disputed. But Bart Cummings was a great trainer. I don't think he ever held anybody down at the TAB and made them bet.
Yeah.
I see the connection, but I don't understand the criticism.
And horse racing has been one of those sports of the kings, of the royalty.
That's what they call themselves.
Yes, yes. And it's where the common man can go and actually rub shoulders. And it can be quite exciting, I understand.
Yeah. Oh, I've been to the races. I used to go to the races and the trots and all that sort of stuff. I used to enjoy it. But I was never a great bettor. I just like to see watching the horses run because I find they're magnificent animals. I could go and spend the whole day at the races and not have a bet, just watching the horses. You know.
Checking out the roses at the Melbourne Cup. Look, I think the litmus test is whether he was inspirational, and I'm sure other people trained because of him went on their careers as well. As you mentioned before, Phil, nobody makes anybody go and bet. He certainly didn't do that.
Mm. So I think he's inspirational in what he did in his career.
Well, I don't think anybody is ever going to win 12 Melbourne Cups again.
No.
I think that's just gone beyond the pale now. That will be a record that'll never be broken.
I placed a bet on one of his horses once. It was 4-1. It didn't finish till 3:10.
He'll be remembered for his eyebrows.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, apparently he was a very nice man too, and he's got a lovely family, so that's nice.
He was very brave. He was allergic to horses.
Yeah, he was allergic
was
to
he?
Horses, yes. Yeah.
Oh. And he ignored his doctor's advice to get out of the business
that's
at a young age.
Yeah. So there you go. Now, there's something you could talk about, allergies, because today is it September, Blue September for
men's and women's health?
Yeah.
Well, let's do the women's health first. Ladies before gentlemen, please.
Yes. Allergies are nothing to sneeze at.
Thank you, Phil.
Well, that's important.
Most important. A couple of years ago, Gene Hales recognised that there was no actual event celebrating or dedicated to women's health in Australia, so she ran the first National Women's Health Week, and thousands of women have sort of responded to this consciousness raising and taken part in a whole series of activities, videos, resources and information of health for women. And it's a way of unifying the community as well. And we were talking, I think, last week about immunisation. And if people get educated into the needs of certain healthy behaviours, then there is herd immunity or there is collective good generated. It's where the wrong stories get promulgated and twisted and bent that you have a little bit of problem. But I think consciousness raising is very good in a group setting.
But normally women are more communicative amongst themselves
and
about their health, rather than what men do, which is another thing too. I think the women have always been ahead of men in the way they know what is wrong with their bodies, and they don't. If a woman gets sick, she'll stay home and get fixed, where a bloke will go to work and go to work and go to work and, you know.
Yeah, I think Women's Health Week is more formalising
that situation.
Communication.
Yeah.
Whereas Men's Health Week is more like saying, well, you can actually be sick and these are the symptoms, do something.
Yeah, this is right. Yeah.
Well, that's the reason why Blue September is a month it's come up, because so many men's diseases are just ignored. It'll fix itself. It'll go away. I don't need to do anything about it. Yeah. I don't even need to tell my mates that something's wrong down there.
Have we given the impression maybe that the cure is worse than the disease? So therefore, if we ignore it, it will go away.
Could be.
But, you know, there's men often, from my own experience, have seen that men are just so busy working or enjoying sport or whatever that they don't want to interrupt things.
David, have you found out that men, when they're working, if they have they'll have a male boss usually, and the male boss says, oh, you'll get over it, just keep working, you know. Is that sort of thing that goes on?
Look, it could also be the whole attitude of, look, I'm a man, so, you know, everything's okay, there's not going to be any problems, I'm not going to talk about it, I don't want to talk about it with other people. We mentioned that women will talk about it, but they're also caregivers. They look after children, or they'll look after their man, or they'll look after another partner, and they're sort of maybe a little bit more in tune. Men have to sort of live up to this macho image of I'm okay, don't worry about it. And that's why, you know, weeks like this, it's not just getting our bowel cancer screening in the post, but weeks like this are to highlight, you know, that we should be getting checkups, and we've got to take responsibility for our own health rather than somebody else.
A lot of people treat their car better than they treat their own body.
Yep.
And in treating their own body, they can be actually abusing it and not realise it with the food they eat or the amount of drink they drink or the amount of exercise they don't get. And we sort of need to be reminded every now and again, especially by the professionals, the damage that we're doing to ourselves.
Just had a reply to our little chat about the state funeral. Thanks for the clarification about racing. I love seeing prominent men cry in public. It's a healthy show of emotion. It sure is. Yep.
That is another good reason. Yeah.
So if you've got a boo-boo or an owie, you can cry.
Hey?
You can cry in public if you're a boo-boo or an owie. They hurt.
Indeed.
Oh, right.
So this month of Blue September is a campaign to raise funds in part for the Australian Prostate Cancer Research and the Australian Cancer Research Foundation charities to raise men's awareness of cancer, as well as, you know, just the health of their internal organs.
Well, I just had my annual checkup done, which I do every year, and I was talking to my doctor about the prostate check, you know. He said, Gordon, at your age, don't worry about it. He said, even if you did have prostate, you would die before the prostate killed you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so, but you're 99. Well,
that's a cheery thought, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's true. But it is a true thing because after you get to a certain age, the prostate...
Like when you hit three digits.
Oh, not there yet. It is just one of those things, you know, that I thought, well, I suppose that's fair enough too, you know.
There's a lot of resources out there and, you know, making better lifestyle
choices. Be seduced by the variety
is what it's all about. So, you know, I noticed Chris has a great little booklet there from one of the hospitals, which, you know, has great information in it. And, you know, it's a good time to follow up on those things, September.
Yeah, it's put out by the Alfred Hospital. Yeah. It's a great book of information. Yes, I've seen it before. It's an excellent book about what you should be looking for and what you can be doing and just general things that you can do.
Yeah.
And this is what you have to do. You have to take care of your own self. And I always say that your health is more important than money. It doesn't matter if you've got plenty of money, you've still got to have your health to enjoy it, you know. And if you haven't got any money, you can use your health to make it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so you've got to have your health before you can do anything else.
Doesn't hurt to have a healthy bank account.
Yes, true, too. That does help. But your health is more important than anything else.
I'm going to take my bank account to the doctor next time I go. Can you fix that?
Do you think it might need an injection?
Oh, it needs a transplant.
You're on Joy 94.9 with David, Phil, Gordon and Chris. Been there, done that. And
we sound like a group from the 70s.
Oh.
Well, that was
only the 70s.
But they used their last names.
I wouldn't have called us a boy band, though.
No. I'm thinking of Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. Hardly Boys.
Man band.
Man band, yes, that's true too.
Like, sounds like something you wear on your head.
Oh, okay.
Time to listen to a little bit from Goldfrapp. Rocket. Here on Joy.
That was a rocket just then.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
You would have been there, done that, Gordon, Phil, David and Chris, for the last of five weeks.
Then you're leaving us and you're fluttering off.
Fluttering off, yes.
We've had a wonderful Nina has been listening and she sent us a gorgeous message. Good afternoon, Nina. Good afternoon and wonderful gentlemen. I am once again enjoying a wonderful show. I do feel that we need to encourage all men to go to their doctors for regular checkups. Lots of love from Nina with kisses and hugs. And kisses and hugs back, Nina. Yes, and we agree with you that men should have regular checkups. The only way to make sure that you are healthy.
We should add that Nina's not a doctor, but she plays one on the radio.
Oh, that's right.
The other thing is that even if you've got nothing wrong with you, it's like taking your car in for service. I say, oh, the tread's getting a little bit thin on this one. It's going to blow out on you within the next 1,000 Ks. And if they can see a trend occurring, they can say, well, we better start looking at that. It needs to be brought under control.
Mm. And you get to see all the new toys. I had my blood pressure taken with an iPad.
What?
And four little things that looked like Apple wireless mice.
Yeah, all
right. They're not mice. They had the little, you know, the squeezy bits.
Yeah.
The squisher. They lie you flat on a table, do ankle and arm.
Yeah.
And then she types on the iPad, squeezes your arm, and she takes in all the notes, and it's real cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the way.
And it said I'm in good health, so I like it.
Even better. So just don't keep on kicking the can down the road. That's what we're hearing today, I suppose.
Yeah, you just must have a regular checkup.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how old you are, you need a regular checkup at least once a year. And if you're not feeling well, go straight to the doctor and find out what's wrong with you. You know, the only way to do it. Now, coming up at the end of this week is a very important day.
It is.
It's the 11th of September.
Yeah, better known as 9/11.
In American language, yes.
Yeah.
Although, coincidentally, is the number you dial in an emergency, 911.
Yes, of course it is.
In America.
Oh, sorry, in America. Don't do that here. It doesn't work.
That's the problem with a lot of people here in Australia are dialing 911 when they want emergency. They don't realise it's 000.
What is it on your mobile?
I don't know.
No idea. 112.
112, yeah.
I don't know why.
It's just on your mobile is different, but on an ordinary phone it's 000.
Probably because it's first numbers in the top line.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Why one... Yeah.
Why, okay. Yes, why anything?
There you go.
Anyhow, we were talking about the aeroplanes that crashed into the Twin Towers.
When did that all happen?
On the 9th of September.
2001.
2001. So it's 14 years ago.
14 years ago, yeah. I didn't see. You said you sat up and watched Chris on the night that it was happening because it was in the early hours of our morning. I didn't see it until quite later in the morning. And I heard it on the radio and I turned the television on and it was just the most awful, awful thing to watch those planes going into those buildings.
But you couldn't stop watching. I mean, that's not a bad statement, but I found it hard to believe that anybody intelligent enough to know how to fly a plane could make the decision to fly a plane into a building. It took me months to get my head around that. And, you know, the thought of getting 72 virgins was just so ridiculous.
The reason didn't demand that sort of action.
Yeah, and it's... I mean, they killed their own. They killed straight people, gay people, white people, black people.
They didn't care. They were just making a statement, I think. Would you say that, David?
A very grand statement at the time. I remember being at the gym the next morning because I hadn't heard the news bulletins and seeing it on the screen, the replays, and I thought it was science fiction. I didn't actually understand or comprehend. Maybe I was having a particularly hard workout that day, but it just looked so surreal to the rest of the world. And maybe, you know, we've been desensitised to see blockbuster movies and all sorts of disaster things like that. And that's what it looked like to me until I got home and heard it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's understandable. It's like there's so many movies made with aeroplanes doing all weird and wonderful things and all the rest of things there.
But from their point of view, this wasn't overkill because they had attempted to blow up the World Trade Center previously with a bomb in the basement car park.
In the basement, that's right.
And the building was just so rock solid. It was basically a hiccup.
But the planes going into it,
they were fully fueled.
Yeah, and the way it was constructed... There was the construction of the actual building when they started to analyse it that is what caused it to collapse.
It was fragile.
They didn't accept. Osama bin Laden was quoted later in saying he was delighted to see them burn down because that wasn't their intention. They didn't know that would happen. But another thing which I just can't get through my skull is that this pilot on the 767, I think it was the second plane going in, because there was such incredible footage of this. He tilts his wings so as to intersect more floors of the building. And that's the last moment. That's just... How do you get a brain that messed up?
Yes.
Of course, we can't forget also that there was the other plane that went into the side of the Pentagon, which also killed quite a lot of people. And then the fourth plane, where there were civilians that actually overcame
the hijackers
and actually still ended up crashing, killing everybody. But at the same time, it was so that they wouldn't actually go into another target, which the target was a mystery.
Was that it was going to be the White House.
Yeah.
That had been evacuated.
That's the one that Mark Bingham was in, who is the gay man that is now forever remembered with the Bingham Cup for the rugby, which they play because he was a rugby player. So it's quite lovely. We've had a couple of messages.
We certainly have. Thank you, Brad.
We've got one here from Safe Travel on Your Trip, Chris. Make Australia proud and show you have a heart, especially with our current government being ridiculed in the New York Times. Bless.
Oh, don't worry. I am always embarrassed when I have to explain the political situation in Australia and to my international
There's
friends.
A little message here to say that mobile phones have an international number for all countries in an emergency. It is 112. That's what you dial on all mobile phones around the world.
I've learned something today.
Yes, so have I. Yeah.
But, you know, here in Australia, we still asked to ring 000.
But 112 apparently is the number you ring internationally.
You can get both will react in Australia.
Yeah, yeah. So there we go. So talking about flying and planes into buildings, we hope you have a safe flight, Chris.
You're not flying out on the 11th, are you, by any chance?
No.
You're going maybe a cheap fare that day?
No.
Going on the 9th, I think.
On the 9th.
You'll probably be landing on the 11th.
You know you've got a cheap fare when they put you on a really old plane.
There we are. Yes, so 9/11, it will remain in our own consciousness.
Yep.
There are some amazing memorials in New York at the moment.
Well, the biggest memorial, of course, is the reconstructed or the newly constructed World Trade Center.
But the actual footprint of the two buildings are now huge fountains.
There's an underground
museum, which I'm not sure if it's complete, but the concepts for it were outstanding.
And they have the names of the victims inscribed in
around
the walls.
Around the pond.
Mm. It changed the city. Changed New York completely. And also the rest of the world.
Mm.
And what people have forgotten, and this isn't necessarily relevant, but New York hated the Twin Towers.
Yes, they didn't.
They destroyed little neighbourhoods and that whole end of the island.
Oh.
So none of this is, you know, come into public conversation since 9/11 because it's not really appropriate. But the development of the Twin Towers was a huge issue in New York. And they weren't particularly beautiful either.
No, they weren't.
I remember
visiting a couple of years afterwards and there was a small memorial to the side because the New Yorkers didn't want to make a big thing about it because they wanted to move on and get on with living in New York because it is a fantastic city and remains to be a wonderful city to visit at any time.
They all walk on the wrong side of the footpath.
They do, don't you?
You've got to be so very annoying. Careful you don't walk.
Escalators are on the wrong side as well. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it takes a long time to go shopping.
Yeah, all on the wrong side.
Great city though. I've been there. Fantastic. Great city.
A little bit of, well, we've got a couple of minutes left. On this day, well, the 7th of September 1936, the last known thylacine, or Tasmanian tiger, died.
Yes.
Yeah. That was one of the early species that died out in Australia.
They're talking about using the DNA from one of the stuffed thylacines that they have, or one of the preserved thylacines, to see if they can rebreed them.
Oh, wow.
Mix
them with a dingo or something or other.
They made a movie about that. Didn't go so well.
Didn't it?
No, Jurassic Park.
Yeah. So, Chris, would that have been one in captivity?
I believe so, yes.
I expect so.
In a lovely concrete cell in one of the Tassie zoos.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. There's a photo of it on they've got it filmed, walking around this little thing. You've seen that, I'm sure you might have seen that
somewhere.
So were the locals unaware that the problem was coming, or did they just say, oh, we just did a count?
They were pleased to get rid of them because they were killing the sheep in the farms and everything.
Poor little sheep.
They didn't worry about it because they were...
Well, at least they're doing the right thing with the Woylie. They've bred those in captivity and they've now released a big batch of them.
What is a Woylie?
It's a little rat kangaroo type creature.
Oh, right. Okay. I haven't read about that one.
I thought it was a thing you put on a table so that the teapot wouldn't burn.
Yeah.
Is that a doily?
Thank you, Phil. I think that note, we better end the show. Thanks for being with us today.
All right, Chris, we'll say good bon voyage to you.
Merci.
And have a great trip and great holiday. And I'm sure you'll probably try to tune in if you're up late one morning.
Yes. Perhaps not as well. Thanks very much, Dave, for joining us. Listener, remember, David will be the new voice in the next few weeks. Thanks very much. See you later.
Bye for now.
Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.